Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us This Week in America. You'll find us online at thisweekinamerica.us. The Face of Hunger, Reflections on a Famine in Ethiopia by Dr. Byron Connor is a powerful memoir based on the years spent ministering to the Ethiopian people and the lasting effects that followed Dr. Connor and his family home to the U.S. A compelling presentation of a devastating humanitarian crisis on a television special propelled Dr. Connor, his wife, and two children on a missionary trip to Ethiopia. The crisis was a famine that threatened the lives of many thousands of Ethiopians. In fact, it's believed that up to 500,000 perished due to the famine in 1983 to 1985. Millions more were made destitute. For Dr. Connor and his family, that service in Ethiopia in 84 through 87 was the beginning a new way of life for them of community outreach and ministry, considering themselves missionaries to their own country upon their return. Dr. Connor was born in Denver, joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church at age 9, served in the Army, including a tour in Vietnam, attended Loma Linda University School of Medicine, 2 years of study with the U.S. Public Health Service, currently engaged in volunteer work on a regular basis, involved in health screening, lecturing, writing, working with the uninsured at a local Denver health clinic, and along with his wife, serving as the health ministry directors for the Central States Conference, a church entity of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The author of The Face of Hunger, Reflections on a Famine in Ethiopia, Dr. Byron Connor, our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Connor, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
This is such a very moving book, what you went through and coming back to the States and what you've been able to do. It's such a powerful story. Let's go back to when you made that decision to write about the book and to chronicle your experiences. How difficult was that, a decision to go back and to put this in the book?
Well, it was an experience I made. I was reluctant to write, but then I felt compelled to write because I thought I had something that would help a lot of people, both inside and outside the church and in the community. And I was already engaged with the community, doing a lot of the health outreach I was doing, so I thought it was a necessary thing for me to do.
And it brings disasters like that, the famine that you live through in Ethiopia, it brings us home. We see maybe 90 seconds on news. If you watch a program like you get a little more in-depth, but then life goes on for all of us, and it brings home that this is life for these people, what they have to deal with. So often you hear people that talk about possibly taking some time and go on a mission trip, which is what you did with your wife and your children. What are some of the pros and cons of going on a mission trip?
Well, first of all, I was reluctant to go. When I first started medical school, they offered us a mission trip or a mission service. And I thought to myself, that's the last thing I'll ever do. And then after all the publicity came out, not only did I want to go, it became an obsession. And so I decided I need to write the book after the service. It was about 10 years or so after the service that I decided to write. I kept false starting to write, but then I decided to get serious about it and really sit down and write the story out, and that's how the book got produced.
It touched you and your family in a way that is touching thousands of people in the Denver area in particular now with all the volunteer work you are doing there. What were some of the cons, some of the situations that were difficult to live through for you during this missionary work?
Well, the biggest challenge we had was the political situation in Ethiopia. Ethiopia was run by a Marxist government with lots of restrictions on things like travel and writing.
Yes.
And you had to get permission to go to go anywhere in the country, and it's kind of disconcerting when you arrive on the scene, and you see people standing around with holding AK-47s on the street. That was something new for us to get used to. That was the biggest thing. But I knew what to expect when I came, because I'd done a lot of reading in newspapers and so forth. So I just thought that maybe it's something we have to get adjusted to. I had some misgivings about taking my children over. My children were 5 and 10, and my wife and I hadn't been married too long, and so it was an adjustment, not just for me, but for them as well. And it turned out to be more of a challenge later on, as we were to discover.
And you'll find all of that in the book, The Face of Hunger, Reflections on a Famine in Ethiopia, by Dr. Byron Connor. His website is byronconnerbooks.com. Connor is C-O-N-N-E-R. Information at the website, byronconnerbooks.com. You can link on directly with Dr. Connor's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Of course, you'll find the book at Amazon and other places where books are sold. What was your impression when you first arrived in Ethiopia? How difficult was it to go through an adjustment period? And after I say that, I'm thinking, were you ever, even in that three-year span that you were there, able to fully adjust to the situation there?
Well, it was very difficult, because we never anticipated that we would be separated for a period of time. We were separated altogether for 6 months. Because they couldn't, my wife and children could not go where I went to serve. I went to one of the famine relief areas, one of the worst ones in the country, and there was no way in the world they could go with me. And so no one told us that this would happen. It's something that we just had to adapt to. But it was a very, very, that was the most difficult thing that we had to go through. Also, I got very sick when I was there. I got hepatitis E as a result of staying in this famine area in Mekelle, Ethiopia. And I thought it was, I have a chapter in the book called A Near-Death Experience, because I thought that's what was going to happen to me. And so it was really an adjustment. That was the greatest challenge that we faced, when being separated, and then adjusting to a new culture, a culture that I had never experienced before, and also the military repression that was just part right. of the part of the environment. That's something that we had to adjust to as well.
You mentioned doing some research and trying to gain knowledge before you went there. Can you ever adequately prepare for something like that? It's got to be one thing to read about. You'll find the military with their rifles, but when you actually come across them, that's got to be a shocking experience.
Yes, it was. It was a shocking experience, because It's so foreign to what we have to put up with, what we have to deal with here in our own country. So it was just something that we had to learn to live with. My children adjusted amazingly well, and my wife a little bit better than they did. I think I was the one that had the most issues. Because I had to travel around the country, not just to Mekelle, but I was in charge of the health services for the entire church. So I had to travel to various places. So even though I said we were 6 months separated, it was more like 9 months if I include all the time that I had to travel to other places around the country.
Dr. Byron Connor, our guest on the program, he's the author of the book, The Face of Hunger, Reflections on a Famine in Ethiopia. His website is byronconnerbooks.com. Link on directly to Dr. Connor's website. Great information there. Information, of course, on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. This really changed your life, the lives of your children, as well as your wife, and what you've decided to do when you came back to the country. What are your plans for service? How has this impacted your plans?
Well, you know, the interesting thing was is that when I came back, I actually thought I had PTSD. because of the experiences I went with, and they're described in great detail in the book. And then after I came back, I discovered that I was even having dreams about the things that I'd gone through there, but I also had some pleasant memories of people I was able to help. And so we decided after we got back that we were not only missionaries to Ethiopia, we were missionaries to our own country. So we started doing community outreach and service to the community. And our biggest project is a barbershop salon outreach that we do. We have 15 shops now. We started off with one. I started off with the one that I used to go to when I was a student at East High School in Denver. We go there and we do blood pressures and blood sugars, and we refer people to a clinic that serves the uninsured and the people on Medicaid and things like that. So I lecture in churches. I write for a local newspaper called the Body of Christ News. I write for them every month, and we go to churches and talk about Alzheimer's disease and diabetes and hypertension. And we got involved with HIV outreach because that's a needed thing in the inner city. And so those are the things they keep us quite busy. Even though I'm retired now, I feel like I'm working a full time.
I was going to say it doesn't sound like retirement at all.
No.
And you've touched you and your wife. Have touched literally thousands of people with the screenings and made a dramatic difference in the lives of so many people that otherwise probably wouldn't have received the valuable screening. Dr. Byron Conner, our guest on the program. How about the role in the plans of service with the Ethiopian church officials? Let's talk about their role in what was happening there and what's their role of what they're doing in the country today.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of contact with the people directly in Ethiopia. I just had the experience that I had when I was there. I was kind of dismayed and disappointed the administrators, they seemed a little out of touch with what was going on, and so that was the biggest adjustment that I had to make, because I said I came here for one thing and they want me to do something else, but I'm going to do what I came here to do, and that was to help the people who needed help the most. I guess sometimes when you're an administrator, you just have a different view of things than people who are going to be in the street.
And in your role, you just rolled up your sleeves and jumped in and went in there and did what was needed. You've talked a lot about the challenges that you face. Some you probably expected, some you did not sort of plan for. They just happened as you were there. How difficult was it to get through those challenges? Were there times when you're really second-guessing the decision to go there in the first place?
Yes, we did second-guess what we were there for. Well, for the things that we had to adjust to. But the overriding needs of the people was the thing that compelled me to keep doing what I was going to do. And most people don't realize this, but in a third world country, most of the people that suffer are children and young people. And so that really does compel you to do what you have to do, because you can actually make a difference there. You don't have to do surgery. You don't have to have a lot of multi-million dollar of medical outreach or medications and things like that, but you do very simple things to help the people there, and that's what I did, and that's what I thought was effective. And I did a lot of reading before I went there from from like UNICEF and World Health Organization and various journals, and they taught me the things that I should be doing there as a physician.
This was mid-80s that we're talking about when you saw the TV special, when the famine was taking literally hundreds of thousands of lives and impacting millions of lives over there. When you read about what's happening there today, have we seen improvements?
I think there's been some improvement, and in fact, I think some countries, for an example, China, have tried to build up the infrastructure. But the thing that I find disconcerting is the if things were so much improved there, the Ethiopian community is pretty sizable here. So, and they tell me that there's still some challenges there that are going on. And when I look at things like the infant mortality rate and the maternal mortality rate, there's still a significant problem there. So they just don't have enough physicians there to give the medical care. So I think there's still, if I went there today, I know I would have plenty of work to do.
Still, and this was, as I say, the mid-80s when you went to Ethiopia with your wife and children. How do you get through that period? You mentioned before some of the people there. I would think some of the people there would be in your memories even today. How do you handle all of that, especially young children that you lose, that you're unable to save? How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, I think about that, but also I think about the people that we were able to help.
Yes.
We were able to help many.
Yes.
And so that kind of balances things out, because some things were beyond my control. They just were beyond my control. So all I could do was do what I could do. And the things I did were pretty simple, like giving us simple medications and things like soap and rehydration packets and vitamin A eye drops and surprisingly, blankets and clothing have a critical role to play because kids tend to die of hypothermia. And we set up a feeding center on the clinic compound, which we were not supposed to do, but which we did anyway. We had a feeding center. We had people come twice a day to be fed, and we think we saved many lives by having that feeding center on our clinic compound.
The book is The Face of Hunger, Reflections on a Famine in Ethiopia. The author is Dr. Byron Connor. His website is byronconnorbooks.com. A couple minutes left in the program. Any future plans for the book, for your missions?
Well, it's interesting. I have started to write colleges because... especially the historically black colleges, and I want them to see how someone can make a difference in a third world country, and so I've touched bases with about three schools, and also I'm trying to recruit people to go into medical training. We have. In our outreach, we have three young people who have gone to medical school, which we're really thrilled about.
Oh, yes.
So we want to keep promoting young people or encouraging young people to go into health professions.
You know, what's really interesting as you're talking, it's not, we feel like we're helpless. There's not a whole lot we can do. I don't have a great deal of money. You're talking about probably building hospitals, multi-million-dollar equipment, that type of thing. Something as simple as a blanket obviously can be life-saving.
Yes.
And you get,
we discovered that very early on in our stay there.
So
blankets,
we should,
and also we give away a lot of clothing.
And we need to keep that in mind as we're watching and reading these stories, that you don't necessarily have to go there. You don't necessarily have to write a check for $10,000 to make a difference.
Exactly.
There are little things that we all can do to make a difference. helping you take this message out to the country and getting it into the colleges, that type of outreach has been Reader's Magnet. What's the experience been like for you in working with them?
Well, you know, they changed the cover of my book. I had a previous publisher. The program with Reader's Magnet is much more robust, and they have they're going to do a YouTube and video, and also another type of visual presentation, which is coming up soon. And so, I just hope that I get people interested in foreign service or in donation or just going into medicine and or just donating money to help out over there, because we would be surprised if we knew how much good the money that we send over can help people.
It's such an important story about what you and the family did in Ethiopia and how you carried that back to the United States and the work you're doing, life-saving work you're doing with your wife in the Denver, Colorado area. And it's a very important book, The Face of Hunger, Reflections on a Famine in Ethiopia. The author is Dr. Byron Conner, that's C-O-N-N-E-R. His website is ByronConnerBooks.com. You can link on directly to Dr. Conner's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Doctor, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. It's a very important book that people need to read. Thank you for sharing the story with us on the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure. Once again, The Face of Hunger, Reflections on a Famine in Ethiopia. Dr. Byron Conner has been our guest. Information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can link on directly to Dr. Conner's website. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.